God's way is
past finding out, except through the Spirit of the Lord. Past finding out, except through the Spirit of the Lord. The way of God is a mystery, and a hidden mystery. And only the Holy Ghost can bring it to the surface. Holy Spirit. It behooves us all to realize that there's no one that actually knows how to be saved unless the Lord teaches us. We can teach you some very good things and give you some good points to work on, but it takes the Holy Spirit to teach a man how to live saved. And without the Holy Spirit, he will miss it. Now, there's several things that we can do ourselves, but we cannot save ourselves. And we cannot live saved without the assistance of the Holy Ghost. It is much as God made us real on ages, created us with the will, the power of choice, we have to have a part in everything that God do with us. But we certainly cannot do it all alone. In other words, you'd never understand the Word of God without the Holy Ghost. It is set up in such a way so that it takes divine guidance to understand it. You'll never be able to live it to the letter without the Holy Ghost. The New Testament standard of teaching was geared to a Holy Ghost experience. You take a modern automobile. There's something about a modern automobile that's different to some of the ancient automobiles. When I was a boy, we rode in automobiles of, I guess, 19 and 21-inch wheels. Nowadays, most of your modern automobiles are 15 and even 14-inch wheels. They're almost sitting on the ground. When I was a boy, the place where I was raised, there wasn't much pavement there until later years. Great hills and gullies and high centers. And these modern automobiles were not yet very far. The modern automobile is not built to run over dirt roads, because it was built for pavement. If you notice that they're not even geared up to pull in under those conditions. You take an older model and it'll pull and get better service out of it, drive it to a field or a mud hole or something, pull it out. The power of the modern car is geared to speed rather than a dead pull. Now, the New Testament standard of teaching is geared to a Holy Ghost experience. The people that don't have it just can't live it all the way through. They'll come up to some point to find themselves on high center. Because it's geared to a Holy Ghost experience. You take such scriptures like this, might be on the one who stand the other. Compare you to go a mile, go two. Who gets the law and take the coke, get the coke also. Pray for the fellow that despitefully used. Don't even talk like you will live that without the Holy Ghost. Because when folks go smacking on your teeth, from a natural human standpoint, you're going to return some of that. When a fella sues you and takes your coat, you'll be lucky to let him have that. But you go ahead and throw in your coat for good measure and all the stuff of that. It takes sanctified folks to live, to make them kind of sacrifice. That's cross the grain. That's contrary to what you'd rather. But the condition merits it, and so you are not constantly enough to do it. Amen? It takes folks with some Holy Spirit, support of the Holy Ghost, to pray for a man that is despitefully used and persecuted. Somebody that's followed you up and watched over you, despite you, do everything you can against you. You're praying for them. You need God's help to do this. Because it's not just natural. That's right. He needs help and assistance from the Holy Ghost. He needs strength, divine assistance to be able to do that. That's why I said the New Testament standard is geared to a sanctified experience. It takes that kind of experience to live it all the way through. That's right. Prayer means sincere desire of the heart. Now, when you know that someone is deliberately doing things to fight against you, and you pray for him, that means you sincerely desire God to bless him. Well, now, you need assistance to do that. You need help to be able to do that. Because it's only natural. But when you find out the person who do a thing unthoughtfully, ignorantly, or something like that, it's a little easier to bear. But if you thought that one was watching after you, seeking to injure you, doing things to fight against you, and you understood that that's why they were doing it. It's not natural that you can just pray a sincere prayer for them, Lord, bless them and help them out. That's not just natural. But you can get sufficient help from the Spirit of the Lord to do it. That's the point. You get help from God, that's why you can do it. Therefore, it pays us to realize that the New Testament standard of teaching is geared to a sanctified experience. And everyone to seek such experience that they might be able to live the Bible life, just like it's set up in the New Testament. The fact of the matter, the New Testament system does not follow the line of what we call common sense all the way through. There's some things in the New Testament that's unreasonable. From the judging it from the standpoint of the human mind. That is unreasonable to have a man to pray a sincere prayer with a heart desire that God bless the fellow that follows him up and watches over him despite what him. From the human point of view, that is figured out to be unreasonable. But scripturally, it's God's way. That's right. And people in this world kind of call the fellow. It doesn't have good judges to let folks run over like that. Yeah, that's the way they figure it out. See? Some things the Scripture requires, plus the Holy Ghost, that doesn't make sense. But it especially does bring grace. It doesn't make sense, it goes beyond sense. It's over and above sense. So it doesn't make sense to let a fellow just run over you and go pray and try to get God's blessing. But it's God's word, so it exceeds sense. It's above common sense. And it's above human reason. That's what I'm trying to say. I'll get right there. That exceeds it, you know. It's not below it. And there's some things the world looks down on, they think. But they imagine they're looking down because it's above it. You take up the standards of teaching that the true people of God live by. There are some people kind of think they're too high toned to do it, but they don't know it's over them. And they imagine they look down on it. In reality, it's far above it. The little statement made is kind of amusing and there's a little sense in it. A sister testified to how that God provided her with food many years ago when most everybody used wood soap, a coal. And she said that she was out of food, no money to get it. She prayed that God would provide her something to eat, the food. And she went on in and made the fine cookies and warmed the oven up. The whole soul of fire burned out. All the wood burned out, it hadn't come yet. Then she had asked God if he believed it, and she was looking for it, so she went in and filled the stove with wood the second time to cook the food for herself. And by that time, the oven was good and hot and everything was in good shape. By the time it got just right, Up comes somebody with a whole bill of groceries, everything just ready. Just give it to him, he's ready to go. And someone was spoke of that and said that was certainly wonderful. But said, I've never been down that low in my life. For I had to pray for food, but that certainly was a wonderful experience. Another brother says, no, you said that wrong, you mean you've never been up that high. To pray for food, yes. Well, now, when you're that right, see. But he kind of looked down on it. See, I've never been down that low. But that is such a wonderful how God provided that food. Another brother stopped him and said, no, you mean you've never been up that high. You just pray for food. Yes. Sometimes things that, from the standpoint of the present, this present world, people think you're looking down on it. But it's over there. That's right. Now, let us read a portion of Scripture here in the First Corinthians. I believe this is the first chapter, yes. Start reading with verse 19. First Corinthians, the first chapter, the 19th verse. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For Jews require signs, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified unto the Jews, a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God, and the wisdom of God. May you notice both the Jews and the Greeks, which are called, I actually say, to them Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. But to the Jews who are not saved, he's a stumbling block. To the Greeks that are not saved, it's foolishness. All right? Verse 25, it is. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men. And the weakness of God is stronger than men. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound things which are mighty, and base things of the world, and things which are despised, has God chosen, yea, things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. But according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Now, we notice in this reading that the Apostle Paul, in instructing the Corinthian brothers, says, it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the student of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. There are two kinds of wisdom. The wisdom of this world and the wisdom of God. human wisdom are divided. The human wisdom oftentimes does clash with divine wisdom. But divine wisdom is foolishness to the world wise, just like the world wise is foolishness to God. The world by wisdom knew not God. Now, for after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe, praise the Lord. For the Jews require signs, the Greeks seek after wisdom. For the Greeks were great in learning. Many of us know that to be so. Accomplished much in the educational field. And the Jews have been used to seeing angels and God dealing with them in various ways. They feel that they should have a sign by which to know that He is the Christ, the Son of God, and that this is the true way. But the Greeks want to figure it out from some through learning. And it didn't make sense to them through the foolishness. And didn't have enough excitement with it for the Jews. So for them they couldn't accept it. They wanted a sign. Told Christ that one time was about a sign. He said, adulteress, you know, what is the wickedness of the generation? Keep the sign. Now, God did give a sign, all right enough. But worldly wise people want their own signs. But God gives certain signs, and those signs is all He gives. We have to act on the signs the Lord gives. Now, notice the two. The Jews, they were people that believed in the Spirit, all right enough. So from the beginning of the Jewish nation, as a nation, they understood something about the Spirit of the Lord. The Lord using the pillar of fire and the cloud in various ways. So they were the sign along with this thing. Not enough to just explain it to them and attest the law, but give me a sign. So I know that this is the Christ, and this is the way of God. The Greeks, not having access to those things and that background, they wanted to figure it out some way. And seeing they could not, they called it foolishness. But to the Jews and the Greeks that got saved, praise the Lord, it is Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. Now, there's only one way to clearly understand God's word and the plan of salvation and live it. And that is by a revelation from the Lord through the Spirit. Without the assistance of the Holy Ghost, we cannot comprehend it and live it all the way through. Now, I went on down further and said, but we preach Christ crucified of the Jews, a stumbling block. That's a stumbling block to them. They're going to talk about a man born of a virgin, lived for 32 years, and killed him, and he got alive again. A stumbling block. Never known such things to happen in that manner before. But a stumbling block. All right. And under the Greek foolishness, we find in Genesis 22nd chapter, verse 18, Abraham said, the Lord said to Abraham, in thy seed, through his offspring, all the kings of the earth will be blessed. Abraham, being a man of one race, it would be physically impossible for the entire human race to be blessed as his direct offspring. But listen, God had a way to do it. In Isaiah, the 7th chapter, the 14th verse, the prophet Isaiah says, the Lord will give a sign. A virgin shall conceive and bear a son. You'll call him Emmanuel. Again, physically impossible. Another impossibility. But God said it would happen. Now, things like that were foolishness to the Greeks, because it couldn't be. Stumbling blocks and Jews. But listen, the Lord said in a little sign, and that's what happened. We again find in the first chapter of Matthew, verse 18 to 21, even to 24. The Virgin named Mary. I read the second chapter before coming to that. No, the first chapter is what I wanted, but I wanted to begin earlier in the first chapter of Luke. We find that an angel visited the Virgin Mary and instructed her that God had made choice of her. Amen. To be mother of his son, Jesus Christ. Luke 1, 26, 35. But notice this. She did not understand this salutation and the promise, and asked him, how can it be? Going beyond human wisdom again. I know no man as yet no husband. The angel said, the Holy Ghost shall come upon you, the power of the highest shall overshadow you. And that conceived, that is not. He then understood it goes beyond all human reason to the power of God. Then, as the side said, Matthew, the first chapter, verse 18, clearly 24. Joseph, who espoused her espoused husband, she was espoused to him. He recognized that she was bringing forth her firstborn, and was unable to understand it, going to get on human wisdom again. But the angel of God comes to him and told him, she shall bring forth a son, thou shalt call his name Jesus. He shall save the people from their sins. Went on to verse 24, that he shall call him Emmanuel, which is heaven, means God the Son. Thus fulfilling Isaiah 7:14, that the Lord will give a sign, a virgin will conceive, and bear a son. All right. In Hebrews, the second chapter, verse 16, says Christ was not, did not take on the nature of angels, but was made of the seed of Abraham. Then we can understand how that through Abraham's seed all nations be blessed, since Christ was made. He's a man born of the Virgin Mary. We are dealing with the fact that salvation under the New Testament system goes beyond human reason. It's impossible to understand it and figure it out from any natural standpoint. We have to accept the Word of God as true, and God as supreme in wisdom. Better than ever, great. Now it says, in this lesson, that Christ crucified is a stumbling block to the Jews and foolishness to the Greeks. But to those that are saved, is Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. There's a lot. He said the world is to be saved by the foolishness of preaching. Not that preaching is foolish, but it is foolish in comparison to the idea of the world arise. Then it went on further and said, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, the weakness of God is stronger than men. Verse 26, for ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble, I call. Now that's what Paul said. Now the seven wise men have to say saved, but in comparison, comparison is a refuse.
All right? But God has chosen the foolish things of the world and found the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised have God chosen, yea, things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no place of glory in his presence. Now we notice in Job, at first, God sets out the law upon the empty place, and hang the earth upon nothing. We find that God can hang the whole world on nothing. When you and I become nothing, God can put hang more on us than he can if we something. In this present world, it has to be something to be counted. But in God's sight, we can become nothing. Then we can become something through God. And I'm trying to think, is that not Job 26 and 7, or 6, 7, 26? Stretch out his all upon the empty place, and hang the earth of the world upon nothing. If you become nothing, then God can hang the whole world on you if he wants it. Hang it on Christ. Now then, he says here, he chose the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised, that's what the Bible says, has God chosen. Yea, things which are not, that's nothing. He's chosen that. To bring to naught things that are, that no place to go in his rest. Now back to the thought I used this morning. For God to use anybody, they have to become nothing in his sight. Then God can make something out of him through his glory. He can use a man that had 50 years consecutively of schooling. If the man become living. That's it, see. He can use Einstein for his glory, but he become living. But the trouble is, most people in that fashion want to become living. Because I'm trusted. But anyone that could come down to the dust of humility, holy and entire, yielded to God, God used that person. But he used to take those who in this world would be made foolish, base, that he had limited, you know, to actually come in under the charge when he didn't come. He said that no place glory in my sight. Every man must come before God as absolutely nothing and let God be all of it. Then God can use it. Therefore, his faithful choice from among men is going to be raised from the world standard of wisdom and foolish. Amen. In the fourth chapter of Acts of Apostles, verse 18, after Peter and John, with a mighty faith in God, and healed a man, in the third chapter, that was more than 40 years old and was lame from the first. Endless, instant the healing, doubtfully, went in the temple with them. Sorrow, the whole country, people gathered together all around Jerusalem then. And it said in Acts 4 and verse 8, they took knowledge of those men that they were ignorant and unlearned men. That they were ignorant and unlearned, but they were with Jesus. They were the people of that time. What do we get out of that? Those men were specially chosen of God, weren't they? After walking with Jesus, they realized that their power comes from Christ. So those men were not learned men.
That's right.
They were not magicians or something. What were they? They walked with Christ. Now, the thought is this. His reason for choosing that type of person is because of the humility. Holy healing to God. Let him have his way. There's no objection to anybody in God's sight, except the question what others do.
That's it.
The person that possesses any outstanding quality that elevates him among men, oftentimes they will not give it up for the humble way of the cross. But if they will give it up, God will save anybody. God will save him before if he comes down on earth. You say anybody would ask, but what's the matter? A man of that standing, he was the one humble that he said. That's the secret of it right there. Well, that's why he chose the foolish. That's why he chose the poor of his word. Amen. Praise the Lord. And James, I believe, the second chapter, about verse 5. I'd like for someone to check that, so I'll know I'll give you the right scripture. Something was said like this. Has not God chosen the poor of this world but rich in faith? As the fool is God's son. Again, it shows his choice with the poor of this world. Why? Not because he had anything against the rich, but the rich usually won't come down over unless he gets saved. But when he does, God saves him, whoever he is. Same way with old noble men. Men weary of the full wisdom of this world. Anytime they accept Christ, God saved him as quickly as a little man that don't know. But not many are called. Not many are chosen. Not because God has something against him, but because he will not come under that. That's the secret of the whole thing. Therefore, God chose the poor of this world, the foolish of this world, the base. It doesn't mean base in character, but lowly in this world standing, you know. Not esteemed high in the world. And said he even chose things that are not. It considers nothing. He brings to naught things that are considered something. That no place could go in his place. That's it. Suppose I would say, I am the Reverend Dr. So-and-so. And on that ground, you should listen to me. All right, there's a title there that seems to give me a little feeling of authority around me. And it's women, in a sense. But God wants this. That person that is dead to himself, to the world, and holding you is God. Then God sees it. That's it. Now, our forefathers, I'm speaking about pioneer ministers and saints in the early days, they seem to go away from some things. And the older I get, the more convinced I am that they were right. To be used of God, to be accepted of God, to live for God, requires a soul that is wholly yielded to him. See yourself absolutely as nothing, and God is all of us. That's why he chose the foolish, to confound the wise. Now, Paul, that done this right, was a noble man. A man with much wisdom. As near as I can turn it, his learning would be equivalent, his standing would be equivalent to one of our supreme judges today. And I believe that would be correct to give you an idea of his level of culture. And God saved him. He did account of all of it, but no, that it might have been Christ. I can see why I got saved. Luke was a physician. He's one of Christ's disciples. Also a man of such, but he met the same condition. Matthew was a revenue collector. also in that same class, but Paul exceeding them all. Those are the epistles and 14 different, you know, nationalities, so forth. But here is the thought. This is the man that said, there wasn't very lot there been any that exceeded him in his day, probably. And he is the one said not many. Why? He knew why. He had a good sense of why there wouldn't be many of a cause. Not because God had something against him, God could use him. And use him mightily if he could ever get a hold of him. That's the secret of it. If he could ever come down here and discuss the humility, God can use him. God can use people with any aspect quality about them if the person comes down to the depth of humility. That's it right there. Now, people cannot fully comprehend the way of God without the assistance of the Holy Ghost. You just can't do it. Religious education is very important. But there's something going deeper than that. I believe in religious education. I believe in teaching people the Bible. It's right. All the saints should know the Bible good. I don't mean just know a special portion, know the whole book. I have young people that just know the Bible, period. But now here's the thought. After knowing it, there'll have to be a revelation from the Spirit of the Lord to understand it in its application in your life. Therefore, bear in mind that it's only those who will come down into the dust of humility, self-denial, holy yielded to God, that will understand and comprehend the glorious mysteries of salvation. Not many will call, but some will call, thank God. And those in that bracket, one can accomplish good far and wide when once they're wholly yielded to God. Much good when once God can get a hold of them. But in order to get the man to humble enough, outside he picks up the question that's handicapped in many ways. That's a praise from everything then. Outside, that's the case. Now the Apostle Peter did not have the ability of Paul. He was not a great noble man like Paul. But at the same time he walked around that is gather, past noble people healing. May God bless us to recognize the fact that Jesus Christ brought to us a simple plan of salvation, so simple to outside people overlook it, hurting for it. And it's so simple. Did you notice how the Jews couldn't believe in it because they wanted a sign? His death and resurrection was a stumbling block to them. Did you notice the Greeks couldn't believe in him? Because it looked like foolishness. Talking about a man born of a virgin. And then after then on top of all of that foolishness, lived their 30 years and took the nail on the cross and died and got life. And left one on there, that's foolishness to say. They never found that on record before, in all our research. But a man did this thing. That was. That was foolishness to say. But the Jews and the Greeks that were saved is the power of God and the wisdom of God. Now, let us read in the second chapter. And I think we'll start with verse 5. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit we seek wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the prince of this world, but come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world until our glory, which none of the princes
of this world knew. Did you get that message? None of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, I have not seen it, nor ear heard it, neither have entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Notice in that it says, the prince of this world didn't know it. Had they known it, they would have killed the Lord of glory. It's a mystery. His mystery. Yes. But here's the answer. I have not seen. Amen. Now, ear heard. Didn't hear it, the ear didn't see the eye. It's having even entered the heart of man. The things that God has prepared for them that love him. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. The thought is this. The wisdom of God, he wants our faith to not stand in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God.